The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, pardon me, of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Still to come this hour, Jeff Parlay will join us in studio. He does a show here in the studio afterwards, so he'll hang out for the last 10 minutes. Matt Brown from the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonnetone will join us. He's got a bevy of National Football League Week 17 picks as well. And our New Year's betting resolutions on the way. Not only mine, but Kelly Bidlin's, even though he's not here with us today. And Wyatt Tom, Wyatt, you're going to have a few yourself, yes?
Yeah, Kelly said, you know, you're on the show today. I want you to have a couple.
And what I like about that is we're all like sort of, you know, we bet differently. Mm-hmm. We're all at different levels of betting. You would not consider yourself like the most serious bettor in the world. Is that fair?
Very casual.
Yeah.
This is just to have fun.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's good that we'll get different perspectives on that. Let's bring Michael Craig in from Right Angle Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had him on many times with releases. They always move the global markets. Of course, the object of this is to win more than we lose, and it has been choppy. Michael will be the first person to admit that. He joins us now from Right Angle. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. How about you, Gil?
I'm doing well. What would you say about the choppy season so far, if I may use that word?
I mean, it is what it is. I think the market's a little tougher than it has been in the past. I think anybody who's involved in college basketball would tell you that. Overall, we're putting the time in. We're definitely, you know, we do calls every day. We're doing our best to get through it. And we're confident moving forward. Not sure when we're going to start phase three of the service. We're probably going to talk about that here in the next few days. I'm not sure if we're going to sell picks in January or just do some free releases through the YouTube channel we started with Adam Chernoff. I'm not sure we're going to do yet, but we're talking about it and trying to figure out what's best. And, you know, obviously we just want to give out winners every time. But like you said, it's been choppy on here. And
I'll say this, though. But I mean, Right Angle Sports historical record, though, I think it is. You never want to assume, but I think based on your historical record, it is safe to assume, though, that moving forward, things will go back to how they were. These things happen. Nothing is ever this, you know, perfect graph upwards, right? That's what people ought to really know realistically about betting.
No, it's not, and I don't remember who it is on our team. I think it might be Jeff that always points out the New York Yankees had a 3-17 stretch last year, so... You know, we have our ups and downs, and, our goal's 55-56%. We've past few years been better than that, and hopefully we trend towards that moving forward and pick up some profit here the remainder of the season.
All right, so here's how this works for those who are new to this segment that we do with Michael. And these lines will move super fast. They just will. This is how it is with Right Angle Sports. And the respect they have in the markets, and people are listening. Oh, by the way. So what we're going to do is Michael's going to give us a rotation number. He's going to give us either a side or total that is associated with that rotation number. You will, if you are interested in betting it, you'll add the bet to your bet slip. However, don't go ahead and bet it yet, because we'll give you some seconds, about 30, to find that bet. And then Michael will say either go or cancel. If he says go, that means you bet it. If he says cancel, we'll do this all over again. We could do it one time. We could do it two times. We could do it 10 times, Michael. I don't know what you have in store. What's the first one? Everybody ready? What's the first rotation number? What do you got?
866 Manhattan, St. Peter's under 132. That's a 2 p.m. Eastern start.
Why does this book not have rotation numbers? Thankfully, there's fewer games today, though, right?
No, but nobody has rotation numbers anymore.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right.
Dying
breed. All right. Let's say it again. What is it? 866 Manhattan, St. Peter's. And what's the bet?
Under 132.
Under 132. Don't bet it yet, though, everybody. Put it in your bet slip. Everybody find that. Everybody should have found it by now because there's not that many games today. Is that a go or a cancel, sir?
That is a cancel.
Cancel. Don't bet it.
Don't bet it.
All right. Let's do a second one. What's this rotation number?
879, Marist, and Fairfield over 125.5. That is a 7 p.m. Eastern start.
879, Marist, Fairfield over 125.5. Again, thankfully on a Friday, there's not 130 games to get through here, so you should be able to find it. There it is, Marist, Fairfield. I'm putting into my bet slip. All right, let's give people a few more seconds. All right, whenever you're ready to tell us, Michael.
All right, this one is a cancel.
Cancel again, Wyatt. It's the first time we've ever had two cancels.
Double cancel.
Wyatt, special day.
Wyatt's doing the Mutombo thing back there. This is very dramatic, Michael. My goodness. All right, what's number? Michael, we could just be here for the whole hour. Michael's just going to give us rotation. I was like, we're coming back with more rotation numbers. What's the third shot at this?
This is 871, Buffalo, Michigan State, over 147.5.
Buffalo, Michigan State, over 147.5.
7 p.m. Eastern start.
All right, that's 871 again, everybody. Buffalo, Michigan State. Over 147.5. How about that Central Michigan upset of Michigan yesterday? My goodness.
Crazy.
All right, 871, all right. Buffalo, Michigan State, over 147.5. Is that a go? Yeah. Say again.
This is a go. This is a go.
It's a go, everybody. Michael was trying to say it's a go, and I'm sitting here yapping about another game. All right, everybody, put that in. And, Michael, give us your thoughts on why you are taking the over in this game.
A couple things here. Michigan State's actually 4-1 under their last five, but they've played some slow teams. They actually played fast last game against Oakland. The tempo overall was slow, but that was due to Oakland. Michigan State had a couple guys go out after the Villanova game earlier this season. They got one of them back about four games ago. They got another one back today. I don't know how many minutes he'll play today, but he's pretty good on the offensive glass. Buffalo's struggled this year rebounding, and Michigan State hasn't been their typical selves on the offensive glass either, so they probably get a little bit of a boost there. But this is more of a tempo thing where I think Michigan State and KenPom right now is rated in the 300s in terms of tempo. That's really low for them, and Buffalo's kind of a wild team that's always in the top 20. So, like I said, Michigan State tempo's kind of gotten bogged down the last five games with some slow opponents, and this is an opponent where they can pretty much run up and down with them if they want. And we think they'll do that today. So a lot of tempo upside and more depth Michigan State with some returning players and probably more success on the offensive glass, like I said.
All right, I'm already seeing 149.5 where I'm looking right now. Might be even a tick higher in other places. What's the most people should bet this at? What's the highest total?
I'd call it 140, probably 148.5, 149.
Okay.
We usually point a leeway on totals, point and a half. So
okay,
I think this one's okay to 149. So I wouldn't take more than 149 though.
Okay, so 149.5 is where I see it sort of hovering right now. So be judicious, everybody, about that. Before you go, Michael, I would be remiss not to ask you about the national semis, the playoffs, and college football. Any bowl games leading up to that? Any value remain on the board with any of these?
Well, we talked last week. I like Ohio State plus the 7, even if you lay a little extra juice against Georgia. Not really much of an opinion, I guess. Lean under in the Michigan game. We did Adam and I and Eddie Walls did a bowl podcast, and unfortunately, I gave out a loser last week on Georgia Southern. But overall, the bowl stuff we've done so far, the picks we've given out have actually been pretty good. If people want to tune into that podcast, so. Trying to think of what bowl games are today. Let's see.
We start in less than an hour with North Carolina State and Maryland. Let's start there.
Oh yeah. We talked about under last week there. We did like under in that game.
Still bettable at the current number. Current number being 45.5 on this game.
I'd be okay. More of a lean at 45.5. I think last week when we talked, it was 47.5. So more of a lean at this point, I probably wouldn't take 45.5.
All right. Anything with Pittsburgh, UCLA, South Carolina, Notre Dame?
That one kind of got blown up. I talked about it in the podcast I mentioned earlier. I do like Notre Dame, but that got bet up. I think South Carolina is getting too much credit for the year-end wins against Clemson, and I forget who else they beat at the end of the year. But Notre Dame has some. The South Carolina run defense is really poor. I think Notre Dame probably dominates them up front, and their quarterback's sitting out, but the guy who's starting, it was a really close race. And I don't think Notre Dame needs to throw the ball anyways. I think they can run the ball down South Carolina's throat. And I think we mentioned it in a podcast, like I said, Notre Dame's going to play hard. The coach they have, the players love him, and they've really bought into him. So I don't think I think the motivation's going to be there for Notre Dame. I think they're going to play hard, which is always probably the number one thing you have to consider with handicapping bowls is who wants to be there and who doesn't. So.
All right, and then the final game tonight, I laid the points with Clemson, and now it's down to 5.5, actually, as it's ticking right now.
This is another one where I made Tennessee like 7.5-point favorite using numbers from all season. But now you have Hooker, Milton for Hooker is a big switch. And I think DJU being benched and out and done at Clemson is probably a big thing. I think it's worth more than people would think. So I would lean, we played some Tennessee at +6, but I think, you know, the adjustments, it's hard to say how much adjustment you need to make for Clemson.
Okay. Michael, we appreciate it. Thank you. Let's get Buffalo, Michigan State over home, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on this year. Appreciate it.
Michael Craig, Right Angle Sports, always coming on Fridays and moving lines quickly. We appreciate all the time. Coming back, our New Year's betting resolutions for 2023 next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the beautiful South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing. I won't even say vacationing anymore because he was vacationing, but now he's got COVID. So just Kelly Bidlin recovering from the vid. We wish him all the best, and that's why we don't have the eggnog challenge today. We were all excited about that. It was going to be an hour, 25 minutes, half a gallon of eggnog for $400. Oh, that would have been fun before New Year's.
That would have been the highest Twitter video we ever put out.
Well, your suggestion was the best, which is just have him do it while having COVID.
Live updates from at home.
That's right. By the way, we didn't give our pro tip last hour. My God, how delinquent we are. How to become a better better in 2023, and this will dovetail nicely in with our New Year's resolutions, which we're about to get into about betting. Dr. Bob said this earlier. Track your bets. Log your bets. I've said this before on the show many times. And by the way, when doing so, have parameters to see what you do well and what you don't. Just don't do wins and losses. I can tell you when I used to do baseball, and I would track every single pick, it would have to, you know, I would not only do wins and losses, but also the price range. So if I was betting a even to +110 dog or a +111 to +120, so on and so forth, same thing for favorites, I would do it that way. I would log the starting pitchers. There were all kinds of ways, home, road. There was all kinds of different parameters that I put on. I do the same for tennis. Start there. And by the way, don't worry about it. Just log it for a while. Don't draw any conclusions after a month or even after a few months. Let it go for a while. Get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of picks in there. And then start to see, hey, you know, this thing that I thought I did well, maybe I don't do it so well. And conversely, this thing that I didn't do, that I didn't really pay attention to, maybe I actually do it better than I think I do. That is your VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour. We do one every hour. 20, at least, every day right here at the network for VSiN Pro subscribers only, searchable at VSiN.com. It's time for our New Year's betting resolutions, and here's our big intro. Da-da. Was that it?
Ba-da-da. No, you should do the song that you've been singing the last 2 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys saw this in my head. I don't think I want to subject people to that. Wyatt, you want honors, Your Honor? You want this first?
Of course. I'd be honored to go first.
Wyatt Tomchek representing a subset of, how would you describe yourself as a better, sir?
A casual better that just wants to say that I bet. Enjoy having fun with the games and have a little sprinkle on, you know, a game here.
Wants
there.
To say that I bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, right, I'm a better. I'm like $20 on a game. Yeah.
What you got?
Well, the first one I put, you know, it's happened to me a lot in baseball, but just don't force bets that you had no interest in because you lost a couple bets in a row and you're trying to get the money back. So say like I bet afternoon games in baseball, I lost. Like, man, I want to get a winning bet, and I try to force something in the night games and I wind up always lose. So I think at that point, just accept your losses and go on the next day.
It's a cousin of don't chase, but a sort of different in some respects. But I get it.
It's okay to just have a losing day.
Yeah.
Next one. This one I started a little bit earlier this year, but open up accounts with multiple sports books to find different markets. For example, I enjoy betting NASCAR. I bet on William & Hill, which I think is a really good book to bet on. But some of the NASCAR stuff they don't have compared to a Stations account that I opened up. Or John Goulet mentions that Boyd has some good markets. And I just want to kind of get those to be able to bet them, because I feel pretty good betting NASCAR.
It's a great resolution. And NASCAR in particular, we talked about this many times with Jeff Colleandro when he used to come on. We talked NASCAR. Is that the prices are so different, mm-hmm. even the morning of a race, right? Yeah. So absolutely a good one.
The next one here, just increase betting on sports that I enjoy to watch. You know, if I'm spending time watching it, why not add a little extra fun to each game? So kind of football, baseball, NASCAR for that. And then last one, just continue to have fun with the whole process and find ways to laugh about bad beats. I'm still sorry about your Arkansas bad beat. But I think because I lost on the Patriots when they did that fail pitchy woohoo.
Oh, man.
You know, that's just a good, funny story down the road.
No,
you just got to laugh about it.
You're 100% right, and it's the price of doing business. And, yeah, that's the thing. By yesterday morning, I was able to laugh about it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Will Hill said, he goes, oh, you weren't as angry as I thought you were going to be. I was like, trust me, the night before I was plenty angry. Do you want to do Kelly's first or you want to do mine next? What do you want to do?
Let's go yours first.
Let's go mine next. My New Year's resolutions, ladies and gentlemen. Bet even more tennis. Continue to trust my numbers. That's a sport where the numbers have manifested wonderfully for me over time. 2021 was a banner year, especially in the hard court season. 2022, not as good match to match, but we hit tons of futures. Iga in Miami, Iga at Indian Wells, Iga at the French, Iga at the U.S. Open, and others as well. It has been a staple, not just Iga, but with getting tournaments. We've hit many through the years. Sophia Kennan at the Australian Open right before the pandemic, Bianca Andreescu at the U.S. Open, on and on with tennis, and that is just, it's in the wheelhouse, keep on rolling with that. Here's one that I think is really key, though. Continue to exploit, because that one was really just for me and my wheelhouse. You should continue to bet what's in your wheelhouse. Continue to exploit information-based markets like drafts and lightly bet markets like the College World Series. Again, our 2022 here on this show. NBA draft. Paolo Banchero, number one. NFL draft, over 13 units. A lot of that Daryl Stingley as the number three pick in the draft. Information-based markets like drafts are something that anyone can exploit. You just have to be a better Googler than the bookmaker. They just have to offer them. That's the catch. And then lightly bet markets. Wyatt was talking about NASCAR. I'll talk about the College World Series. We hit Ole Miss at 100-1. Lightly bet markets or off-the-beaten-trail markets, other sports, as we used to call them, those are where you can find tremendous value year after year after year in the betting world. Everybody has an opinion on the NFL. Everybody's got one on the NBA. Those are much more efficient markets. They're much more calibrated by game time. Look at stuff like College World Series and NASCAR. For me, bet basketball and baseball judiciously, but not rampantly. That's worked for me lately. I used to love betting baseball every day. It was my number one sport to bet. Now, I kind of know, you know, what I can't quantify anymore. Starting pitchers don't pitch as much as they used to in terms of length into, you know, deep into a game. And so I've ratcheted that back through the years. But yes, did I see a moment to bet the Atlanta Braves for the NL East title 17 times this past year? Yes, because there are moments where you can exploit a market. So for me, I have to know what I bet rampantly, and I have to bet and I have to kind of know and come to terms with what I shouldn't bet as rampantly, but just pick spots. I think everybody should do that. Continue to challenge too cool for school betting blowhards is one that we carried over from primetime action from last year. What I mean by this is we do have a sort of gambling Twitter culture where there are people, and we've all known them, there's no need to name names, where they think they know everything about everything. And they are unassailable, but they can criticize the things that you do as a bettor. One of the things we've tried to do on Primetime Action and here on A Numbers Game, and hopefully at VSiN as a whole, is to sort of say, you know what? There are many ways to skin the cat. And yes, mathematically, there are some things that are right and can't be really challenged because it's math after all. But we allow for the fact that different bettors have different approaches and that it is subjective in some cases. And so, yeah, continue to challenge the too cool for school betting blowhards that you will find out there. And then finally, continue to interact with the best listeners of any show ever, Numbers Game listeners, the funniest, most intelligent listeners of any show there ever was. I appreciate each and every one of you big time. And remember, you can murder me as well. Just be funny, and we'll always read it. Wyatt, Kelly, by proxy, what do you got?
So for Kelly's New Year's betting resolutions, his first one is to make sure to constantly update my betting pie chart and unit size per sport. I left way too much money on the table last NBA season, not adjusting enough. And then the second one is don't let the results affect my golf betting process too much. 12 second place finishes on outright bets is tough to shake off completely, but a new season is underway, which I did feel bad for Kelly, how many second place guys he kept getting.
Yeah, he was very much the Susan Lucci, for those who remember the daytime Emmys for so many years, where she couldn't win an Emmy. All My Children, Wyatt, I'm not sure you know anything about that. But she was like, she was nominated 18 times, and she always finished shy until she finally did. But yes, for Kelly, so this is the thing, and this dovetails nicely into what Wyatt was talking about, what I was talking about. Come to terms with, it will serve you very well, and this is just our betting resolutions, but for you as well, it will serve one very well, to know that you're not going to be great at everything. I know in a perfect world you would be. But some things you're just going to be better at than others. And in Kelly's case, Kelly is outstanding at the NBA and at golf. We make fun of him with the college football stuff just because it's a gag segment with college football guessing lines. But in truth, he's an absolutely outstanding NBA and golf bettor. The proof is in the pudding in his results. And yes, he's a human being like everybody is. And so when you finish second with your outrights, it can be discouraging, but he knows that his process, and he does model golf. He and Matt Brown, who's about to join us to talk football, they actually model golf. Now, does Kelly or Matt model other sports in the same way? They do not. Same way that I don't bet tennis, the same way that I bet other sports. So figure out, this is all one big giant puzzle, ladies and gentlemen. That's the beauty of this. This was simple. We wouldn't have shows about it to be that easy. But it's one giant puzzle, and it's part of solving that puzzle that makes this so enjoyable and so entertaining and hopefully profitable. And if you're trying to be profitable, recognize what you do well, recognize what you don't, recognize how you bet certain sports, how you bet other sports. Kelly certainly does golf a certain way, and then he does NBA an entirely different way, and is very successful at both. Those are our New Year's betting resolutions. May you have them as well. Doesn't have to be the same ones we do. You like that one about the Twitter blowhards? Do you like that one the best?
That was a good one.
I like that one. All right. Matt Brown. Speaking of Matt Brown, co-host of the Final Countdown with Story Bonatoni, his NFL picks next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a Visa Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosted guests, betting splits, and betting reports. It's a limited time offer. Those who sign up and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Len Glauzensky, hope I pronounced that okay. Len Glauzensky says, Gil, there is a documentary about, he says, Pepe's life. He means Pelé's life. Typo. Sorry about that. On Netflix. Watch it. It's fantastic, says Lenny. I would like to watch that. Pelé, for those who missed it again, passing away at the age of 82. Three-time World Cup winner. And really, the when you think of the bicycle kick in soccer, who do you immediately think of? Pelé. Sean Higgs. Gil, Vision Quest, just a clarification, wasn't his dad. It was the cook he worked with at the hotel restaurant, and yes, the movie Victory, the bicycle kick versus the Germans, Eddie Vegas Runner. The Vision Quest scene is my favorite. P.S., it was the co-worker of the father that talks about Pelé, but yes, quote, it's not the 6 minutes, it's what you do in those 6 minutes. That was the, again, earlier, if you missed it, we were talking about Pelé, the sort of pop culture reference, a 1985 movie with Matthew Modine called Vision Quest. It's a sort of throwaway movie in the mid-80s, but there's this fantastic scene in the middle of it, and Pelé is referenced. This is from, I want to go through these, yes, a lot with the bicycle kick. Johnny Ringo talking about Nick Kyrgios, hashtag headcase, yes. So I can't do the Kyrgios bets. This is from Phil Weiss. Does any jurisdiction, we were talking about rotation numbers with Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports, he goes, does any jurisdiction other than Nevada use rotation numbers? He says, I can tell you this, the two biggest, New York and New Jersey, do not. How about that? Chris Heath, in a battle of apathetic tones between Michael Craig and Jason Weingarten, who wins? We'll leave it at that. We'll go to some more later. Matt Brown joins us, everybody. He is the co-host of the Final Countdown, which stars not only him, but the great Stormy Bonatoni, each and every Monday through Friday here at the network, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, a man who was a co-host of Primetime Action. It's my buddy Matt Brown. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. I see they stuck you with Wyatt. Did you lose a bet or something like that? What's wrong? Why do you get Wyatt?
Whoa, Matt. You know it warms your day. It makes your day when you see me in the studio when you come in for Final Countdown.
My favorite part of the day is watching you walk out of that studio, my friend.
Hey, that's the nicest thing he said to me in the last 2 months.
Oh, man. I expected no less from you, Matt, when you saw Wyatt in here. Well, we wish Kelly the best, though. He's got the vid, man. He's got COVID, so we wish him the best.
It was about time. You know,
seriously.
It was about time. Yeah, seriously.
He was one of those annoying last people that had not gotten it yet.
Gil, he was due.
He was due, as they say, in the sports handicapping world. All right, where do we begin? Week 17, it's squirrely time, Matt. What do you got first?
It is. Not a huge card for me, and certainly from an outlay standpoint, not near the financial commitment this week that I would normally have in a week. But I took the Cardinals at 3.5-point dogs in this game against the Falcons. I mean, once this moved to 3.5, it's weird. They announced Colt McCoy in, and it moved from 3 to 3.5, which I didn't really get. I mean, he's played in 4 games this year. He got 2 of the top 5 defenses in the NFL in the 49ers and the Patriots, and then got concussed against the Broncos. And if you look at the game where he played, you know, an average defense, and you could even say a bad defense would be the Rams, he went 26 of 37, 238, touchdown. He actually even graded out pretty well against the Niners, according to Pro Football Focus. He had a 70.3, which is considered a good passing grade and things like that. So, I mean, I thought it's definitely an upgrade over Trace McSorley to get Colt McCoy back. And now you get this Falcons defense, 30th DVOA, 28th by Pro Football Focus, 30th in EPA allowed, 32nd in defensive success rate allowed. So, I mean, literally bottom 3 in almost every advanced statistical category that there is out there. So, I mean, they're dead last in pressure rate on the season as well. So he should have time to be able to hit DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown. I mean, he's got playmakers too. So, for me, it's one of those things where you're going to give me the other side of a field goal for this team that I think at least has a tiny bit of a pulse on offense with Colt McCoy against the worst defense out there. I'll go ahead and take that. And hey, why don't we throw some narrative in there as well? JJ Watt's last 2 games. They're going to play harder for him, Gil.
That's right. They weren't playing hard enough. Yeah. Now they're like, oh, it's his last 2. We're going to play harder. let me just ask you this, because this is sort of, there's got to be somebody out there thinking this. It's the Cardinals and the Falcons. The game means nothing to anything. How much of this, even though he has a bet on it, will Matt Brown actually watch of this football game?
It'll be an ancillary screen, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of those screens that don't get the sound. It'll just be up there. It'll be in existence. We'll put it that way.
It'll be in existence. All right.
Yeah.
A bet's a bet. Man's got money riding on it. All right. are you on? Did I see you're on the Vikings? Did I see that?
Yeah, Vikings plus 3.5. On the other side of field goal here, I think this is just too big of a number this Packers team. I mean, a little bit of overvalue stuff going on here with this. I mean, their 3-game win streak is against the Bears, Rams, and then the Dolphins after Tua got concussed, you know? So I'm not really buying too much into this at all. I mean, the Dolphins' first half last week against this Packers defense, 52-yard drive ended in a field goal, 84-yard drive ended in a touchdown. They did get stalled one time and had to punt. 62-yard drive ended in a touchdown, field goal on the next drive. And then, you know, they were going at least maybe for a field goal attempt or whatever, and then Mostert fumbled at midfield. So, I mean, like, they were moving the ball perfectly fine. And then, of course, the second half, we found out Tua was playing with a brain injury. So, I mean, it's a defense here that's not all that great. They're dead last against the run. And if you look at this, Dalvin Cook, I mean, these guys got a mean average of 73.9 yards per game, a median average of 77. So I think we're getting probably a pretty good day out of him as well. If you guys want to play props or anything in this game, I think they'll be leaning on him pretty heavily. But on the other side of a field goal, we're just weighing wins over bad teams, I think, a little bit too heavily here.
Anti-Wyatt Tomchek bets abound. Both Matt and I on the Vikings.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
I like it. I like it.
Big Packers guy, that Wyatt Tomchek.
The hater is flowing too much here.
Your teaser, though, is it anti-Commanders? Has an anti-Commanders leg. What do you got here? Not necessarily anti-Commanders. They could win still.
It is. And honestly, this is, Gil, this is the hold your nose and you just have to play these teams up at 8.5 in these super low scoring games. I have the Dolphins, the Browns, and the teasers. I have the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Seahawks in teaser round robin here. And it really has nothing to do more than these teams getting 8.5 points in super, super low scoring games against offenses that aren't really all that productive, right? So winning at margin, I think, with any of these teams isn't really in the cards all that much. And so I take a look here. You mentioned, you know, let's look at the Dolphins, right? Teddy Bridgewater comes in. He's small sample size, but he was all right when in the small sample size that we've got him. I mean, his passer grade, according to Pro Football Focus, is in the same neighborhood as like Dak Prescott, Jared Goff type stuff like that. So, I mean, not great, not terrible. He's just kind of in there somewhere. This Patriots offense, as we know, is pretty broken. So asking them to win by double digits, I don't think is anything that's going to happen here. And then you go down the Browns, I understand, have not been good. The offense has looked really terrible, but something about this defense has actually found something over the last 6 weeks. If you look, the Browns defense, 13th overall DVOA, they're number one in the entire NFL versus the pass. They're number three in EPA allowed per play. I mean, like it is, it's one of the interesting deals that I can't think this defense has kind of gone under the radar here as being a little bit better. And of course we know the Carson Wentz stuff. I mean, he's going to give you one turnover. I mean, you're going to get one turnover out of it, right? And like, is that good enough to keep this thing within double digits? Again, I'm only asking them to keep this thing within double digits. And it's kind of the same deal with the Jets and Seahawks, right? I mean, Tyler Lockett, Ken Walker, looking like they're going to go for them. And Mike White has been, he's fine, right? But I mean, he's not good. It's just like comparatively to Zach Wilson, everybody has him being so incredibly good, but it's like, he's fine, but he's not good. I mean, he's completing 62% of his passes. I mean, like of the guys with at least 100 dropbacks, Gil, in the NFL this year, he would be 23rd in that quarterback composite that we're kind of liking to go to these days, which is EPA plus CPOE, which is completion percentage over expected. If people are wondering, he'd be 23rd. I mean, like, you know, there's about 45 qualifiers. He's 20. Like, he's fine. He's middle of the road, but I mean, he's not good by any stretch. And so I think the Seahawks as well can kind of keep it within 8.5. So that's kind of how I'm looking at these. It's just getting a bunch of points in low total games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do feel like the pendulum on the Jets' love has swung just a little much this week, just sort of taking in information. Wouldn't shock me if Seattle won it outright, but the Jets' defense is the best unit on the field for sure. All right, and then you have a prop bet, I see.
Yeah, one thing I just think is interesting if people want to get out in front of this. So over at DraftKings, most passing touchdowns is a market that's still available, and Joe Burrow is 8-1. In the most passing touchdowns. He currently sits 3 behind Patrick Mahomes, and he has a game against the Bills with a total of 50, and this is likely to be a high-scoring game. Patrick Mahomes basically has 2 bye weeks coming up, and it is not out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't even play in Week 18. So a scenario that plays out this week of Burrow throwing 3 touchdowns and Mahomes only throwing 1, and now you're entering Week 18 with Burrow only down 1 touchdown pass, and you're holding an 8-1 ticket, and at least a chance in which Mahomes either doesn't play at all or only plays some of the game, and Burrow's playing a very meaningful game in Week 18. I like having an 8-1 ticket in the account.
I like it. And then as far as this week's concerned, at least it'll also be a standalone game, so you'll know what the numbers are set moving into the week, and you know what Burrow has to shoot for with 1 week still to come, obviously. Matt, appreciate it, man. We'll all listen this afternoon.
Have a good one.
Matt Brown. Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown, 4 p.m. Eastern, today on VSiN. Jeff Parles joins us for his NFL thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points so you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Las Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800 Gambler. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Dusty Noel 7. Successfully putting in right angle sports picks with a 6-month-year-old and one of my greatest accomplishments. Holding his 6-month-old and getting that bet through. Alan Mitchell talking about the Joker slams, the Novak Djokovic slams prop we were talking about. Are you comfortable he won't get screwed out of playing a tournament being unvaccinated? You're the best. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. More so this year than last, for sure. He is playing in the Australian Open, and that was the big bugaboo in previous years. So I'm thinking we're past that, but your point is well taken. So no, not a huge concern for me heading into 2023. Pounder, Robert S. Lyons, said 2022 was profitable in large part thanks to you. I'd love to take you to dinner on my next visit. I'm giggling because he says, know any good sushi restaurants? Which, of course, we famously, I said I wouldn't give away my favorite sushi restaurant in town. Thank you, Pounder. That's very kind of you. And I hope all those bets that we cashed this year on the show, I hope you were able to jump on most of them. Rick Ollier, what were better odds? All my children, chick, he means Susan Lucci, finally winning that Emmy, or Dak throwing that pick with less than a minute and a half during the hurry-up offense last night? I think Dak was minus 350, he says. Susan Lucci probably minus 300 that year. Signed the guy who had the boys minus 6.5 first half. Less ride. Rick, I was right there with you, man. That was brutal last night. Wasn't Arkansas-Kansas brutal, but it was pretty brutal. And we talked about that in the first segment, where it's like, how do you lose that bet? You're up 10, you got the ball, you throw a pick. Okay, then they got the field goal for those who had minus 7 in the first half to tie it. But then that pick with just over 30, or just under 30 seconds left, just brutal last night for the first half Cowboys bettors. We do have a pro tip for the hour as well. Matt Brown reminds us, no motivations. We had something like this earlier in the week. But this also extends to prop bets. You got to know the motivations, not only sides and totals in terms of what teams as a whole have in playoff picture scenarios, but also in the prop market, like Matt Brown said with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Someone brought up earlier this week, I believe it was Michael Montesano, how, hey, I'm going to bet Josh Allen the most interceptions because Derek Carr is going to probably get benched, and he did, and he took his toys and he went home. Know about it with what Matt was talking about with the most touchdown passes prop. Joe Burrow, he's going to play for sure the duration of the season, the balance of the season. We don't know that about Patrick Mahomes necessarily. So keep that in mind. Every pro tip searchable on vsin.com. All of them, of course, searchable there for pro subscribers only. Joe Burrow, of course, will need to break away from the Ravens in their division. Patrick Mahomes looking for that number one seed. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is in studio with, oh, by the way, we get texts as well. Matt Vasgersian, the great Matt Vasgersian, has texted in after our betting resolutions, our New Year's betting resolutions segment, Wyatt, that you put together. Thank you for doing that, sir. The great Matt Vasgersian has texted in, the betting resolution segment just made it official, a numbers game now more deserving of a Kennedy Center honors than Gladys Knight and Amy Grant. He said he's already working on the web application for it. So thank you, Wyatt. Wyatt Tomchak, who did a great job this week.
Also,
well.
And Kelly Bidlin.
And Kelly Bidlin.
I got to give Kelly his dues.
Yeah, he gave his props. Yeah. Jeff Parles has been a producer on this show. He gets his props for doing it as well. Producer number 5 and 8. He now joins me on this side of the desk. Host of multiple VSiN shows, including the name of the weekend show this
weekend.
Live
Bet Saturday and Live Bet Sunday. It's actually very simple. Just change the day. I have to remember which day it is while I'm on the air, though. That's the hard part.
You got Christmas off. You're not getting New Year's off, right?
Oh, no.
Too many games.
Well, come on. It's a regular New Year's Day. It's a regular Sunday. It's a big Sunday at that.
I want to thank your parents on air, as I did in person, for them inviting us to dinner the other night at Amalfi, Bobby Flay's new spot at Caesars. Mm-hmm. The great Todd Wishnev was invited as well, and he broke out grocery store salad dressing in the middle of that meal.
Yeah, that was an all-time performance from our guy, Toddy, who, yeah. Gil, my dad and I were having this conversation yesterday. It's almost a certainty that the grocery store dressing that Todd insisted on putting on his salad had more calories than whatever Amalfi would have put on as the salad dressing for
that
salad.
He's disputing that.
Yeah, I think he's wrong.
He bought a 15-calorie per serving bottle of grocery store salad dressing into a fancy restaurant.
And he brought two apples.
And he brought two apples and ate them right at the table. Yeah, Todd Wishnev, co-star of the Megapod, which is available now with Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN's Daily Wager. All right, let's start with your Jets, because you're Jets insider, Jeff Parlay. We're just talking with Matt Brown about it. Now, he's got the Seahawks and teasers. which I'm not sure you'd object to that necessarily. Nope. Do you feel like the pendulum has swung a little too far on the Jets? In other words, Matt made a great point. People love Mike White. We get it. Mike White has been awesome. But it's kind of juxtaposed against Zach Wilson. It's not like he is Dan Marino 1984. So might it have swung a little too much? I do think the Jets defense is the best unit on the field, but would you be that surprised if the Seahawks beat him?
I wouldn't be surprised at anything in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Jets win by two touchdowns. Wouldn't be shocked if White has one of those games like he did against Buffalo last year where he throws 2-3 interceptions and you're playing behind the eight ball the whole game. And you made a point yesterday on the Megapod that I think is right and is really my biggest concern. Seattle's been going the wrong way for 2 months now. Ever since that game in Munich, their only win was that game against the Rams with Wolford, where Geno had to drive them down the field and score at the end of the game to beat the Rams when they were at the bottom of the bottom for them. Would it stun me if Seattle has a big-time effort?
Yeah.
Finally, and if they win, remember, Seattle wins twice, gets some help, they still can make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening, but it wouldn't stun me. I really do think at this point, Gil, even though the Jets lost the last two Mike White starts, the two losses were to Minnesota, who has won every close game, and quite frankly, the Jets were in a 17-point hole in that game and came climbing back out, and if Berrios makes a catch, they win that game. Now, what are you going to do with the Buffalo game? Buffalo in terrible weather? The Bills are really good at home. We know this.
Real quick, you think Geno wins comeback player of the year?
No, I think Saquon Barkley should.
But do you think he will?
No, I don't think he does. I think Saquon Barkley does because the Giants, I know the numbers don't say they're that good, even though they're going to be in the playoffs. I think Barkley wins the award.
I still think Geno wins it. And by the way, I buried the headline. I made a Brock Purdy bet yesterday. I finally bet.
Rookie of the year?
I bet him at plus 750. I have had multiple guests on the show where the question was, you know, the one that everybody should be asking, which is, and everybody is asking, which is six games enough for Brock Purdy to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? And everybody's like, no. Unprecedented. No. But at plus 750, I thought it was worth a flyer because no one else is really distinguishing themselves. Now, Garrett Wilson goes out, has 10 catches, two touchdowns, 150 yards. Different story on Sunday. But I think it was worth a flyer, and I took it.
I don't mind it at that price. No. I'm in the camp that six games is not enough of a runway in order to win that award. But look, if Wilson doesn't have a good game, I think Wilson's your only real threat at this point. I know people say Olave and that. They're not giving it to Olave on a six-win team.
And if that's true, if he's the only threat, then all it takes is a bad game here, you know. What's your favorite bet this weekend?
Cincinnati. You and I agreed on that on the Megapod. Cincinnati's number one. I'll take a point with the better team at home. And I know I'm in the minority on this because Buffalo has been power rated basically number one or number two the entire year in all sorts of power rankings. But the way to I know Buffalo hasn't lost since that ridiculous game against Minnesota, but have they impressed you in any of these wins?
I mean, not in a they're absolutely going to win the Super Bowl way. Do I still think they're one of the four best teams? Yeah, probably.
They're clearly one of the five best teams in football. Yeah. There's no arguing that. But I'm going to take the guy who I think is the better quarterback at the moment in Burrow, and I think Cincinnati's defense gets underrated in the shuffle here, Gil. You have a defense that up until last week's weird second half in Foxborough had given up 7 points in the previous 5 weeks in the second half. You're giving me a point at home in prime time in a similar situation. Burrow torched the Chiefs last year. I'll very happily take a point with Cincinnati.
And you have them power ranked number one, as we learned earlier on the week on a numbers game.
I do. One through five is so close, though. Yeah. Everyone's so close there.
All right. Who is the team that is in the must-win situation of all of them? Who's the one that loses? Because one of these teams is going to gack.
So I'll cop out here. I'll go with New England. I think Teddy Bridgewater, as the week has gone along, gotten a little more confidence that Miami's going to get that thing done, knock New England out of the postseason. That would be the one that I would look for, especially since they're favored by a 2.5 now, Gil.
I said this earlier. I'm going to step out on a limb with that answer. I have a bad feeling about the Detroit Lions.
I mean, they should have lost to Chicago the first time.
Just see Justin Field doing some things, and all of a sudden, the Detroit magic carpet ride comes to a crashing halt. We shall see. Week 17 in the National Football League. Hope it's more exciting than last night's game, that's for sure. Thank you, Jeff.
You got it, Gil.
Appreciate it. Jeff Parlay, everybody. Thank you, Wyatt. In for Kelly. Hopefully, Kelly gets better. We'll see him next week. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.